My working title is, What's Love Got to Do with It? Now, those that are old enough remember Ike and Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It, right? You guys remember that song? And in our house, and my mom had a detached retina, and she, at that time, back in, I think it was in the late 80s, she wanted some music, so I got my cassette tape and turned it to a radio station, and she kept, when I came home, she said, What's this? What's Love Got to Do with It? Tina keeps, singing it. So that was just the working title. But, I know that, today's a big day in the life of a lot of people. Super Bowl Sunday. The pregame starts at 12 o'clock. The game doesn't start till 6:30, but the pregame starts at 12. So I hope I can get you guys home, see most of the pregame as they find out what they had for breakfast and everything like that. So just a little sports report if you guys are sports fans. It's not going to be a very close game because in the Bible, a Bengal tiger is not mentioned any time, okay? But a ram is mentioned 44 times. So you got 44 to nothing, so I think that's your sports report for today. And then tomorrow, guys, is Valentine's Day. Okay, for those that forgot, it's their wife's, friends, whatever's Valentine's Day, when it's a tough time for some people that, they've lost loved ones or lost parents or that. So, but we'll talk about that more at the end, I think. So, when Cindy and I got married, the pastor said, well, what would you like read? What scriptures would you like read? Okay, you're getting married and you're starting 10,412 days of bliss that we've been married. And it is, I think it is, I lose track sometimes, but it's 10,412 days that I've been married. I'm not going to say how many were happy, but, and of course we said, if you talk about love, what chapter in the Bible do you think of? What is the love chapter? 1 Corinthians 13, right. So, if you think, and the thing that I found out, I was reminded that 1 Corinthians 13 is right in between when Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, and then 14 he talks about how we're to use them. And in the middle of it, he puts love. Love is patient, love is kind. So it's kind of interesting that he tells you about your gifts, then he tells you about love, that it's the most important thing. You have to have love. If you don't have love for your brothers, it doesn't matter if you have the gift of prophecy. It doesn't matter if you have gifts of, tongues or whatever. And it concludes that by saying you're just like a banging cymbal. You're making all this noise. You're not really getting done what you need, but you just kind of, but love is patient. And, love's kind of an interesting concept, I think. Of course, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So love's is in the Bible a lot, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God. That's number one, and we've gotten away from that. So, I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but there's four kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. There's philia, which is the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. And if you ever watch Philadelphia sporting events, they're not the, you know, they throw snowballs at Santa Claus if he's there. But they don't hit him. But Phila means friendship. You choose who to love. You know, you're drawn to people and become friends. Did you ever meet somebody and there's just something about them, you know, that you can not see them for years, and as soon as you see them face to face, you just feel like you've never missed any time with them. You know, that feeling of friendship. You know, in the Bible, David and Jonathan are listed as that. As, you know, they kind of had that love. They just, you know, that David was supposed to be the new king. He's going to be the new king, and Jonathan was the guy who should have been king, who had rightful, but yet they just had that love for each other. The next is storge, and that's like kind of more of affection. You know, we all talk about the, you know, I just love that place. I just love, you know, I love the Rams. I love the Steelers. I don't love the Rams. But you just have that protective love. You know, that's that kind of love for your family, for your brothers and your sisters, and kind of that protective love. You know, that develops over time. You know, my mom used to say that my mom was a loving person, except when if she attacked her kids, anything they did, then she kind of floored up and said, yeah, they can be scoundrels, but I still love them. And then eros, it's that kind of love, that romantic love, you know, when you say, oh, I've fallen in love with them, you know. If you watch TV and some of the reality shows, like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Joe Millionaire, you know, they all say, you know, this guy says, I love you to three or four different women, you know. And that's kind of, it's interesting because, you know, I always tell Cindy that, you know, if I had been better looking and younger, I'd love to have been on The Bachelor. You know, the guys here will admit that. You know, if you have 25 women who are all standing there going, ooh, he's a cutie. Whoa. And then you can go out on a date with one and then say goodnight to her. And then the next one says, oh, Dennis, buddy, you know, that's everybody's dream. I mean, maybe not everybody's dream, but I didn't really know. And I think Tina Turner had it right that what's love got to do with it? Because I think once you know this Eros romantic love, it's totally different. You know, that love of one woman or one man, it's not the love of all women, it's the love of one person. You have that just deep love, you know, and especially as you get older and the looks go, if you even had them. But, you know, the looks go. But you just look at your significant other and you just love them. You know? They walk in the room and you light up. You know, you smile. It's not that like deep, I don't know, guttural, I don't know if it's that correct word, but that deep love that you just, you know, you want somebody. You know, it's that deep love when you've, you know, they're sick and they're in the hospital and you're really worried about them. And this love can be kind of bad too. You know, you watch TVs and show and And sometimes people take it the wrong way. You know, Dateline, I like to watch Dateline. Unfortunately, it's always the husband who does it, but, or the wife. You know that when they quote, fall out of love, but one of the partners just doesn't get it, that they want to move on. And that's that kind of like stalking love. That love that somebody says, if I can't have her, nobody's going to have her. You know, it's that love, and it's just, it can be dangerous too. And then, of course, agape love, which is what Jesus shows to us, that immeasurable, unparalleled love of God and mankind. It's sacrificial. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's just, you know, unbelievable that he loved us that much. And that God loved us so much that he would send his son. He would turn his back on his son so that his son was going to die for our sins. Sins he had nothing to do with. And when Kellen was growing up, he read this book called The Whipping Boy. And the story was about a prince who, if he did anything bad, they brought in another boy. And he got the whoopings. Not the kid that did it, but he got the whoopings. And I just always remember that book about the whipping boy, that Jesus died for our sins and nothing he had anything to do with. So, Barbara Lowe has a quote that says, "Do everything with a good heart and expect nothing in return, and you will never be disappointed." And that showed up a couple times on Facebook. And I'll repeat that. Do everything with a good heart and expect nothing in return, and you will never be disappointed. So in the Bible, it does talk about love. It talks about love a lot. Ephesians 5:1 says, "There will be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself to us as an offering, a sacrifice, God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Now, back in the Old Testament, when they talked about all the offerings, the grain offerings, the peace offerings, and all that, some of them really stunk. You know, they would burn things, and it really stunk. You know, it wasn't always that sweet-smelling aroma. But there was sometimes in the Bible where, you know, God and says he smells this sweet-smelling aroma. You know, we're supposed to have a sweet-smelling aroma. Our love is supposed to be different, that people will sit there and say, why are you different? If you have the love of Jesus, why are you different? Why do you do the things that you do? You know, why do you sit there and somebody criticizes you and you don't fire back at them? That you just say, okay. You know, as I've gotten older, I've realized all the mistakes I made as a parent. And they were many. But one of the things that I've been really thinking about is, I used to tell Kellen, our son, that I do the things I do for him, not because of who he was, but because I am. Did you guys ever tell your kids that? Or did you ever tell somebody that you did something, like they would do some kind of boneheaded move, and you would say, you would give them, not put the hammer down on them, but you'd say, it's not because of who you are, it's because of who I am. You know, I really been thinking about that phrase. That's not a very good phrase. That's kind of lifting up me up. Instead, it should have been that Jesus is in me And that's Jesus' example, that I want to be Jesus' example, that I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Because if God gives us what we deserve at the judgment day, we're going to be all in trouble. You know, because we can say, oh, we've done, we've lived a good life. We didn't kill, didn't murder, didn't, you know, whatever. But, you know, we gossip, we slander. You know, sometimes that still small voice says something to us to do, and we say, no way, man, I'm holding on to that. I'm not going to give my neighbor, you know, my brand new boat. You know, we say, no, let him take care of it. If he had worked a little bit harder. And I think that that's sometimes a question as a Christian is, what do you do with your money? We have a guy who's a big man, and not big man, but he does a lot for society, but sometimes he says that he worked hard and he deserves all the nice things. So I'm still working on that. I had a discussion with somebody about that phrase, that we deserve it. Because if we deserve the good, we also deserve the bad. And the last scripture, how about that? The last scripture we're going to look at is 1 John 4. Starting at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Scholars have described this as the perfect description to be a Christian. Not only is love important, but in the next 12 verses, it talks about that. In verse 7 here, it just kind of, 7 and 8, it says, God is the essence of love. Everything, blessing is judgment, is because of his love for us. That everything in that he does is because he loves us. We tell our kids that too, you know. Because I love you, that I'm taking away your cell phone. We don't see it when you're in that thing. You don't see it as very well. Last couple of weeks, I've decided to get up at, well, when I don't go to work, when I'm a little later getting to work, is to watch Leave It to Beaver. Now, for yous that don't know yous, I don't know what these, I'm going to get a yuns out there yet. But Leave It to Beaver is, I sometimes have woken Cindy up because I've been laughing at Leave It to Beaver. You know, because there was such a good thing that happened with Leave It to Beaver. That whole show, you know, is that, and a lot of times it was Beaver doing things, but there was such lessons. You know, what do you do if you, you know, find money? You know, do you tell your parents? Do you not? And his dad, Ward, wasn't always the, you know, smartest, not smartest, but he messed up sometimes as a dad. And, you know, so sometimes the words that we say, and, you know, one day the one that was really was laughing at Ward was saying, to Beeb that he gave Beeb a pedometer to test how many steps you did. So he said, well, you know, I used to walk 9 miles to school. So Beeb bets this guy that he can go 9 miles because his dad said he walked 9 miles every day. So Beeb's going around and around the blocks and all that, and he ends up with 2.5 miles or something. And so he loses his new baseball glove because the bet was he gave this kid his baseball glove. And so Ward says, let's go play a catch. And he says, I can't. I lost my mitt. And Ward's like, well, what do you mean you lost your brand new mitt? He said, well, because I listened to you and you said you could go 9 miles. You used to walk 9 miles, you know, when you were younger, what, on this pedometer. And Ward said, well, Beeb, you didn't. I was just kind of like throwing out some big number, you know. And then Ward found out that he had done it wrong. But I don't know where I didn't intend to talk about Leave It to Beaver. But, oh, judgment. And, you know, and it ends. Ward buys him a new glove and says, you know, I got to watch what I say. You know, and Jeff Foxworthy says that the most frequent phrase, the last thing that people hear before they end up in the hospital is, watch, I can do this. So we keep reading in verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. In this is love, that we, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we got to follow the example of God's sacrificial agape love in sending his Son. He sent Christ to save us and poured out the wrath of all of our sins on Jesus at the cross. So we must follow God's example of, sometimes it's not what we want to do, but it's kind of what we do, what we need to do. Like getting up out of bed on a Saturday morning to open the doors and not expecting anything in return. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. You know, love is the heart of our Christian witness. By what we do, we show Christ. Sometimes we forget that. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. It's just that assurance that if we're showing love, God's abiding in us. If we're looking out for ourselves, you know, we have to check our spirit and see if God is really loving. If we do are following God, or we're following ourselves. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. For he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he also love God. He who also loves God must love his brother also. In the last part about the love and a Christian's witnesses, that is the idea that if we love God, we can have that Christian confidence. We can have that confidence that in the day of judgment, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's not going to say, you know, we're not going to say, well, we did this. We cast out demons. We did this in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So we must have that God's love. And then John 13, 34. And 35 sums it up by saying, and this is Jesus right before he was getting ready to leave. He told him that he was going to leave. And in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another. So what do we do now? We're supposed to love, and as a kid, you all used to sometimes said, your parents will say something, and you'd say, so what? What am I supposed to do with this? So, what does that mean? You know, am I supposed to give away my millions? Am I not supposed to have a house? Am I supposed to live in the road, live someplace? So that, but I'll give you guys a practical application, and I hope you guys believe it. On the back of the row of pews here are some carnations. And I really want you guys, each person here, to take one. To take a carnation. Okay? So what are you supposed to do with that? One, I want you to remember that Cindy and I have really appreciated this church. The last year, things have really changed, have not changed, but for me, stepping out and doing this is unbelievable. You know, I never would have projected doing this, speaking in front of people. So I want each of you to take one. So what do you do with that? You have three choices that you can do with that carnation. Well, I guess you have four. The first one is, if you're not really feeling love, if you're thinking, nobody loves me, nobody appreciates me, nobody cares about if I live or die, I want you to take that rose, and every time you look at it, you think that God loves you. That rose. Oh, that's for tomorrow, dear. carnation, because somebody loves you. The second thing is, your second option is, to call someone who you know is lonely, like a widow, a single person, that really may not have a contact. And you call them and you say, I have something for you. Or stop by and tell them, I want you to know that you are loved and appreciate that. I think sometimes we tell family members, how much their dad meant to them or their mother meant to them or whatever when they died at the funeral. And you tell them stories about their dad or something like that. Because in this world, we're really interconnected. As you got older, you realized that you met people 30 years ago. And then you see their obituary in the paper and you say, oh, I remember when they did this or whatever. But those people who really mean a lot to you, you know, who you just want to tell them thank you, and who really are lonely today, and they may not have anybody to really appreciate them. The third one is tell those that you love them and tell them about Jesus. You know, your family members, your spouse, your son, your daughter. Just use that as somebody. Use that to tell somebody thank you. And then the last thing is, and this could, you know, if you choose this option, is just whatever you're doing the rest of the day or tomorrow, just walk up to somebody and say, God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Somebody who had no idea who they are. It could be the girl at McDonald's. It could be just somebody at work. And see what kind of reaction you get. I called my doctor on Friday and I was getting a prescription refilled and the nurse or whoever answered the phone said, well, do you need me to give you the phone number of the pharmacy? And she said, no, you're good. And just something in my mind said, well, thank you. And no matter what anybody else tells you today, when they're calling in and wanting an appointment or whatever, or they yell at you, you just remember you're good. And she was just chuckling up, laughing. She just couldn't believe it, you know? So that's your assignment, is to take one of the carnations and do whatever with it or however you feel, but just know that God is love. You know, and if that's, you know, like I said, you can not blow somebody's mind. Or I'm going Ward Cleaver on me. But you really could make somebody's day, because who knows? Who knows what might happen? The angels could be rejoicing because another soul has come because of you just giving this rose.